recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to have Titans offensive tackle Ty Sombrilo join us in the next segment. So very much looking forward to that. We'll break down the Bears game coming up on Sunday with him. So very much looking forward to Ty joining us here on the show. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And this goes back to the discussion that we were having earlier about getting off of social media, looking back in the past of simpler times. Ron texted in and asked, "Hey, Joe, when's the last time you saw or used an actual phone booth? Do you remember the last time you were in a phone booth?"
That's a great question. I think I've seen one not long ago. They're still around here and there. I've seen one at a gas station here or there, but used one? Man, that's a great question. And it used to be so all the time.
It's just a foreign concept now to today's children. Like, I'm not sure they even know what a phone booth is.
Yeah. Other than, like, unless they watch, like, Superman.
Right. Like, do your kids, do they know what a phone booth is?
Good question. I mean, my oldest, he's a big, like, comic book fan, you know? So
he probably
because does. Of that, yeah. But, like, have they ever seen us using one? I doubt it.
Elijah, have you ever used a phone book or a phone booth in your life?
Absolutely
or a phone
not.
Or a phone book.
Yeah, have you ever used a phone book?
I remember being taught how to use a phone book when I was, like, in the second or third grade, when I was still being taught how to write letters and send them via a crazy thing called the mail.
Nice.
Not email, but, like, actual mail. And yeah. Do I remember any of that? No. Have I really shipped anything, written a letter to anybody? No. And I've definitely not used a phone booth ever. I don't think I've ever actually used a phone that's not in my house or it is my cell phone.
Yeah. Well, like, the idea of a phone book, when you look back on it, it's kind of crazy. Like, it's got your name, your number, your address in it, which is a little freaky when you think about it.
Right.
In modern terms. Yeah. Like, I remember when I was a kid growing up, we were trying to figure out, like, where one of my buddies lived. I was like, well, I know his name. Let's just look it up in the phone book, his parents, and sure enough, there's his address. Okay, cool.
That was one of my summer jobs one summer, was delivering phone books, and they were big. We actually have a phone book, but it's tiny. I mean, it's just like, you know, it's businesses still do that.
Yeah.
Some, but there are very few just citizens listed. Some.
Oh, simpler times in some ways.
This is the reminiscing.
Reminiscing edition Friday. Of Robbie and Rex Road here on this Friday.
I think the last time I've seen a phone book, like, actually in person, was when I saw someone using it to help make a fake ID.
Really?
Because of the font apparently matches perfectly with Tennessee licenses.
Wow.
And you did not approve of this, of course.
Absolutely not. I almost called the police, but then...
Yeah.
You didn't want to be a rat. Yeah, I get
exactly.
You.
I couldn't do it. But apparently that is a thing. And that's right. Actually the last time I've actually seen a phone book being used for anything, and it was not for looking up a phone number.
Yes, exactly. Joe, let's talk about the Titans offense a little bit, because we spent so much time the last couple of weeks, and deservedly so, talking about the defense and how many struggles they've had out there, whether it be in the pass rush, whether it be on third down, whatever the case, you want to make it on defense. On offense, still moving the ball relatively well. Even in the Pittsburgh game in the second half, I thought they moved the ball pretty well. And last week, they moved the ball well. They ran the ball well against Cincinnati. Just had trouble finishing drives, particularly in the first half, had trouble finishing drives. What have you seen out of the offense since Taylor Lewan went down? And now that the points per game have come down a little bit and maybe a little bit of the execution has come down, how concerned are you about the offense with no Taylor Lewan thus far?
I'm not terribly concerned, because I really think that it's more about the defense, especially the last game. Now, are you super excited if they score 38 against that Bengals team? I mean, it doesn't necessarily say that much either, but they easily could have. And, again, you get to 24-7, and you can't do what you want to do. I mean, they don't want to be chasing these games to that extent, and the defense has put them in that position. But if you really look at drive after drive of that game, I mean, they moved the ball every time they had the ball. You know, then you have the bad pick. You have the missed Gostkowski field goal. So those are your first two drives. You finally, like, have had enough at 10-0 and say, you know what? Vrabel, I'm sure, is just like, you know what? We're running the ball every play. And then what do? They just go right down the field and score. And you have that, again, that Ben Jones holding call, which maybe just the replay didn't show when it happened, but it looked like a bad call to me. That killed that first drive of the third quarter. And then the defense keeps sucking, and eventually you're down 17, and you have to play a different way. So it's hard to evaluate, like, where are they going to be? I still think they're going to be really good. And I think this is going to be a really good test and a really interesting matchup against the Bears. Of course, you lose Taylor Lewan, there is absolutely no way you can say that you're not going to have some kind of negative impact. I think Tyson Brilo, who we're going to talk to in a few minutes, has been an awfully clutch pickup for one thing in the offseason. And I think he's done well. I mean, there are definitely some times in the run game where he definitely is getting it done, you know? And it's not like – I mean, that's the interesting thing this week is against this team. This is another team kind of like the Steelers where both tackles at times probably going to need some help, and that's not easy to do.
It's not, but it's also – I think you think of Chicago's defense and you think, well, it's going to be really tough for the Titans to move the ball against this defense. And as we talked to David Haw yesterday, I mean, the rush defense for Chicago hasn't really been all that great. I mean, New Orleans had some success last week. I think the Titans are in position here, especially if, you know, you get out early in this game and play with the lead like they've really succeeded with doing, and I think that's where they really thrive as an offense. Derrick Henry should be able to get some yards in this game. And I think people hear that and they think about Chicago's defense and they're like, Chicago's defense from a rushing standpoint, kind of middle of the pack so far this year in the NFL. So I think the Titans have an opportunity to move the ball on the ground in this game.
They are. Now, so I did a podcast yesterday with Kevin Fishbane, Adam Johns. They cover the Bears for us at The Athletic.
Yep.
And Kevin brought up a good point. You know, some of these bad rushing performances have kind of been, they got gashed on a big run, so they taken by surprise. The focus was not on stopping the run. And his point was, when the Bears have gone against a back where it's like, this is a focus, they've done well. So, you know, and that's even teams that have been bad rush defenses have, at least for a lot of some of these games, have done pretty well just by emphasizing stopping Derrick Henry. So it's not like, I mean, it's just a different emphasis for them. This is where, of course, when the Titans are fully operational, then Tannehill makes the team pay dearly for it. But I think that the Bears are certainly going to be focused on stopping Derrick Henry and thinking about stopping the run way more than they do almost every week. That's one thing about teams that play the Titans. They think about stopping the run, and a lot of weeks it's an afterthought.
Right.
And I think sometimes with the Titans defense, it's an afterthought, and then they get gashed by guys who should not be gashing them, like Giovanni Bernard.
Joe, you brought it up a little bit there a few minutes ago when we were talking about it, but what have you made as a whole of Tyson Brilo so far this year? There have been a couple of times, you know, J.J. Watt got him on the first play coming in the game after Taylor Lewan went down. You think back to Ngakoue against Minnesota shortly after some Brilo came in the game then. But as a whole, I think he's actually done a pretty good job so far. Like, there's a drop-off. I mean, there's no question about it. There's a drop-off between Taylor Lewan and Tyson Brilo. But I think, especially when you compare it to the other moves John Robinson has made heading into this season, you could make a pretty good argument some Brilo has been the best of the bunch, given what he's had to do and the circumstances that he's had to come in and play pretty significant reps, even before Taylor Lewan went down for the season, but especially after he went down for the season.
Yeah, he's a former second-round pick, of course, with the Broncos. You know, went to Atlanta, got released. So I don't know what all, you know, got him to this point, but it ends up being pretty clutch pickup for the Titans, you know, especially obviously with Isaiah Wilson right now not ready to contribute at all. So I think I have not, you know, it's one of those things with, it's like cornerback too a little bit. Like, if Malcolm Butler is not thrown at and he didn't make any plays, I think he played well.
Right.
I mean, sometimes it's like you'd rather not be noticed, and I haven't noticed. I mean, yeah, J.J. Watt will get you, sure. Ngakoue will get you when you come into the game against Minnesota. Yeah, yeah, I mean, those guys can get anybody, but I think he's been good, and it's been major deal for this team to have him, and we'll see over the long term. And, again, it's you pay $80 million for a left tackle for a reason,
yeah.
And I still think that was a good investment in Taylor Lewan. And the reason is it helps you do everything else better when you have a guy you know can go out there on an island and handle just about everyone in the league. Although, I like if it was Khalil Mack against Lewan this week, I'd still give him a little bit of help.
Probably give him a little bit of help.
Give him a chip here, keep a little tight. Get the receiver, give a little chip on him, get a back chip on him. But for the most part, he's going to be able to handle his business over there. You're going to lose something if you don't have that, but – it has been, yeah, I mean, is this the best pickup of the offseason for the Titans?
I think so, right now.
I mean, Chris Jackson has been a nice low draft pick, and I think some of those other guys in the draft are going to end up factoring in more, but as a free agent pickup.
Right now, it's not really close, I think. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, I'll go with, you know, good thing they signed Clowney.
Sure.
But, yeah, he has not performed up to his contract.
When we come back, Titans offensive tackle Ty Sombrilo will join us here on the program. Looking forward to that. We'll break down the matchup between the Bears and the Titans with him. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell taking you through this Friday here in Nashville, Tennessee. Scheduled to be joined shortly by Titans offensive tackle Ty Sombrilo. So looking forward to that conversation with him. We'll break down the Bears and the Titans coming up. Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, I remember being excited to get the sports section out of the newspaper on Monday mornings to see all of the scores and standings updates and sports stories from the weekend. Ah, yes. Remember when you had to wait until, like, Monday morning to figure out what was going on around the league? Unless you were, like, watching ESPN
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I remember when it was, like, the breakthrough of, like, ESPN. Like, whoa, SportsCenter is on at different times. And you can, like, there's a late SportsCenter, but yeah.
Can you imagine still having to wait now to, like, figure out what the final score of, like, the Colts game was? Like, it just seems so foreign to me.
Yeah.
Even though I grew up in a time where, unless you were watching TV, like, you didn't know. Like, you had to go either check the ticker or check the paper the next day.
Well, I was going
to
say, one of the big developments was when, like, on ESPN and even, like, CNN, they'd started having, like, that ticker with scores. And you would just sit there and wait for the scores to pop up again, you know? That's
yeah.
The only way you knew. Unless you read the paper the next day.
It's a trip down memory lane here today on Robbie and Rex Show. We even had, you know, Hibbs told me to bring up Opryland. Like, you don't even remember Opryland, do you? I mean, you weren't here, but no vacations for you here for Opryland?
Actually, it was part of a vacation, but, I mean, that's in the 2000s.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Titans offensive tackle Ty Sombrilo. Ty, thanks for taking time to join us this morning, man. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So what's the transition been like for you, Ty, coming in and being the full-time starter, coming in for Taylor Lewan at the left tackle position?
Yeah, I can't say enough about this offensive line room. They've been unbelievable since the day we started up. Obviously, it's been an interesting offseason with COVID and all, so we didn't necessarily get the whole OTAs and offseason to kind of be around each other and get to know each other, but this room has done an incredible job of kind of accepting all the new guys and all the young guys and getting them into the fold. So it's been an easy transition.
Okay, so Ty, before we go any further here, I want to hear it from you. I want to make sure on this because we sat here for many years and heard people all over the country call Marcus Mariota Marcus Mariota, and it says it clearly on the site that we say your name Sombrilo, correct?
That you guys nailed it.
Perfect. I feel much better.
There's a lot of people in this town that are saying, I mean, they're all over the map. So I hope people hear this. It's from your mouth, Sombrilo. All right, good deal.
Sombrilo, yep.
There you go. We can move forward now. So why the Titans, Ty? Why in the offseason, what drew you to this team?
You know, I actually played a little bit of ball with Jamil in Atlanta, and so I knew him, and he was talking it up, saying that I would love the room here and love the fit. and we kind of just met in the middle, and they were had interest, and obviously I had interest, and you know, I ended up here, and happy I'm here. Couldn't be happier.
So, Ty, I want to get to this real quick. I was doing some research and looked at your high school career. Is it true you played offensive line, defensive line, tight end, and kicker for your high school football team? And if so, how would you rate your kicking skills?
You know, I actually was a better kicker than a quarterback. you know, I actually still like to kick every once in a while when I get a chance. But I was a decent kicker in high school. You know, kicking off the block and whatnot. But I made it work back in the day. We had a small high school. We ended up having like 25 guys my senior year on our team. So I ended up doing kind of a lot, along with a lot of the other guys.
Can you punt at all?
My punting is very, very sporadic. You know, sometimes I can really get a hold of it, and other times I just kick it straight up in the air. So,
so we're probably
not as much. Kicking was more consistent. Punting not as much.
Okay, so we're probably not going to see you back there Sunday. We're trying to figure that out. How that's all gonna come together. So,
yeah,
probably not. So Ty, replacing Taylor Lewan. I mean, first of all, you know, what did you see from him as his teammate, as his backup, his level of play, and you know, what is it like to, you know, to step in for a guy like that, for a star at that position? And also, how has he been involved in helping you with this transition?
Yeah, no, coming in, obviously, Taylor is a great player, and I've known that, and his film has shown that. Getting here, getting into the room, he's just a great leader, very, like, charismatic. He brings guys along. And, you know, makes it fun to come to work. And so it's tough losing a guy like that with that kind of energy and that kind of leadership. And obviously, you know, I'm not really trying to fill any shoes necessarily, but just kind of do my own thing and do it my own way. But he has done an amazing job of, you know, taking on the role that he's had here and being the leader that he is.
Titans offensive tackle Ty Sombrallo on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ty, obviously offensively you guys this year, the numbers look great. You've been moving the ball very well, high efficiency numbers, all that stuff. Where do you think you guys can still improve as an offense as you move forward here?
Yeah, I mean, obviously our goal every time we touch the ball is to go score a touchdown. And we haven't been doing, I guess, enough of that overall. So we just need to get more points on the board and, you know, finish drives when we have the chance to and take advantage of every possession we get.
So give me the scouting report on your game, Ty, and you know, your strengths, what you need to work on more, and how do you think you've played so far?
I'd say, that's a tough one. I'd say I do well over just generally. I do everything well. You know, obviously here and there, there's things that need to be improved and worked on and things come up, but generally speaking, you know, obviously most of us linemen love running the ball. So we take a lot of pride in our run game and fitting the run the way it should be and coming off the ball. Pass game, obviously, you know, we try to do what we can to, you know, confuse and frustrate rushers, and we do a good job of that.
Ty, speaking of the run game, what's it like to block for a guy like Derrick Henry who, you know, like at any second could break one off no matter where you guys are on the field?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. He is special. And when you give him a ball and you get a hat on a hat and cover people up front and you let him get rolling, it's fun to watch and it's a lot of fun to block for. And I know the fans have a good time watching him play, but we have an even better time blocking for him. So it's a lot of fun.
So is it exciting, Ty, when a guy like a Khalil Mack is coming in? Obviously just such a great player, very tough guy to block. Like, do you relish – as an offensive line, as offensive tackles, you and Dennis, the idea of, you know, trying to, you know, to figure out a way to stop him from getting to the quarterback?
Yeah, every week is a challenge. You know, obviously there are some players who shine a little more than others and stand out a little more than others, but every week is, you know, everybody's capable, everybody's talented, but it is nice to kind of get the benchmark for excellence and get to go against it and see how you measure up.
So what's this week of looking at him? And I know, I mean, Hicks, they got a lot of good guys. on that defense. But looking in particular at Khalil Mack, when you can sit down and you're going to grind on a guy and watch him, what are your impressions of him?
Yeah, he's just an incredible combination of size, speed, strength. You know, he's also very flexible. He can get his body in and out of different positions and still move very efficiently. So it's making sure that, you know, you cover him up and, you know, don't try and do too much and don't play tentative or scared, because he will take advantage.
Titans offensive tackle Tyson Brilo on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ty, what's it been like for you playing next to Roger Saffold? I mean, we've seen, especially in the running game, highlights of Roger just absolutely crushing people blocking out there. What's it like playing next to a guy like that at the guard position?
Yeah, I love playing next to Rod. He's been a great teammate, and he has been, you know, he's just a rock. So just kind of relying on him to right the ship if there's ever anything wrong is nice. But he is an animal. He is one of those people in the Khalil Mack category of their position. And he can just ragdoll people. So it is a lot of fun playing next to someone with that kind of capability and strength.
Ty, a lot of focus, obviously, this year has been on Isaiah Wilson, the first-round pick. I know he's out there now in the practice field trying to turn a corner, you know, get himself ready to play. What have you seen from him recently on the practice field in terms of, you know, trying to get himself to where, you know, he can be active and maybe contribute this season?
Yeah, physically, he's gifted. When he's rolling off the ball, you know, if you're in his way, you're probably getting moved. So it's nice to see him out there doing his thing. And, he's a special talent. So, you know, hopefully he continues to improve and do the right things day in and day out.
Titans offensive tackle Tyson Brilo has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Ty, we appreciate you taking a few minutes to join us today, man. Good stuff as always.
No problem. Have a great day.
Good luck Sunday, Ty. As well.
All right, guys.
He stepped in, done a really nice job for Taylor Lewan there for the Titans, and it's incredible when you think about this Titans offense and the numbers that they're putting up so far this year. I mean, to be able to step in and come in and still be able to run the ball, you know, the passing game, I don't think Tannehill has just been under this immense amount of pressure since Taylor Lewan went down. They've had their moments where they've gotten in the backfield, particularly in that Pittsburgh game, but I think the offensive line has stepped up and done just about as good of a job as you could probably hope for with Lewan not being in there.
Well, right, and you know, the timing's not great when you think about he goes down and then you've got Steelers,
yeah,
and now you've got Bears.
Yeah.
You're not going to be more, I don't think, challenged by individual pass rushers on the rest of the schedule the way you were with them and the way you will be Sunday. So you get through this, you can get a win here and hold up. I mean, I think that really bodes well for the rest of the year.
When we come back, what scares us the most about this matchup against the Chicago Bears? And if the Bears come in here and win, what does that say about the Tennessee Titans? We'll get to that coming up next. But first, make sure you're tuning in to this weekend's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. This Sunday's NFL Game of the Week is the Pittsburgh Steelers taking on the Dallas Cowboys. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. with a 3:25 kickoff. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell, taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the Titans matchup against the Chicago Bears, we've got a poll question up at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. And the poll question today comes directly from Elijah Campbell, and I think it's a really good one. Will you lose all hope in the Titans defense on Sunday or for the rest of the season if Nick Foles and the Bears come in and beat them and just light them up? 71% say yes, 14% say no, and 15% say depends on the situation. But 71%, an overwhelming yes. If Nick Foles and the Bears come in and just give it to the Titans on Sunday, fan base not going to be very happy or very confident about this defense moving forward.
So what if they lose 20-17?
Well, that would be different.
That would be it's still an L, man.
It's, yeah, but like I'm saying, if Nick Foles comes in and he just, I mean, they're, they're 10 for 13 on third down, and they continue to get worse on third down defense. They don't even breathe on Nick Foles in the game, and Nick Foles comes out and has a Nick Foles game that happens every once in a while where he looks pretty good. He puts up like 350 yards passing and three touchdowns.
Yeah, I think, shoot, man, try to see if you can get sub 50% one of these weeks on third downs.
That would be a start.
That'd be something. It's Nick Foles is he's been disappointing. I mean, there's a lot of calls out there. And I'll say it again. I'm glad if I'm the Titans that I'm going against Nick Foles instead of Mitch Trubisky. I know people will laugh at that, but Mitch Trubisky is more – he's more athletic, and he's more likely to make some big plays at your expense than Nick Foles, from what we've seen in Nick Foles.
And I would say normally, like, Mitch Trubisky's also more likely to throw the ball to your team, but Nick Foles has been doing a whole lot of that this year so far.
Yeah, that's the thing, and they certainly need that. I mean, they live on those turnovers and didn't get them. Thought they had one late last week, but that's a big part of how they've been able to survive the otherwise bad defense.
Go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, what scares me is another slow start for the offense. We need to come out with guns blazing in this game. They have had slow starts offensively in each of the past two games.
Well, no, they haven't. They made a big mistake, right?
Well, yeah, but that's you're not scoring.
Right, but a slow start to me is you come out the three and out and you're just not quite. I mean, they came right out and ripped down the field. And then Tannehill made one dumb mistake. So, I mean,
right,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but it also, like, coming out moving the ball down the field doesn't do anything for you when you don't finish. You hear what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yeah, of course. But the slow start, I mean, that's not what I can – I mean, their first two drives, 8 plays 61, 8 plays 43, the offense produced. The offense was in sync. It was producing. One guy made a bad mistake. I mean, if you're saying you want the offense to come out and score right away, I mean, that's different. I mean, ultimately, that's the bottom line, points on the scoreboard. I'm just saying – when I think of slow starts, I think of an offense that takes a couple three and outs.
Just can't get anything done.
Yeah. I mean, they got. I mean, I look at every single one of these possessions. They didn't gain less than 40 yards on any possession against the Bengals, you know. But what they've been great at is finishing drives.
Right.
And finishing with touchdowns. And by the way, the Bears are the best red zone D in the NFL, and that's definitely a strength versus strength thing. You know, the Titans trying to finish those drives Sunday.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in, says, you asked on Twitter, will you lose all hope in the Titans defense if Nick Foles and the Bears beat them on Sunday? I'd like to counter the question with, what if the Titans barely squeak one out with a game-winning field goal to win by 1, 2, or 3? Look, at this point, just take a win.
Like, yeah, 6-2 is 6-2.
Yeah.
You know, we know the flaws and what they have to work on. I think the biggest disappointment would be if this offense starts to dip. And this is a very good test of this offense. So I also think that if this offense can get into the 30-point range against this team, that also you could flip the question around and say, man, that really bodes well for the rest of the year. You look at who else they play. They play mostly defenses that aren't as good as this one.
Yeah. And you've got a couple of good ones coming up in the Colts and the Ravens, but
yep.
A lot of the defenses they have left on their schedule, you should be able to put some points up again. I guess, Joe, as you look at this matchup and you break down the Bears, what scares you the most about this game if you're a Titans fan? I think for me, I mean, you can talk about the defense all we want, and it's sure, it's not out of the realm of possibility that Nick Foles comes in here and plays well and makes the Titans look really bad defensively, because pretty much everybody has made the Titans look really bad defensively so far this year. But what scares me the most is the two or three plays per game that Khalil Mack can just absolutely reverse the course of the game. Like the strip sack, he causes a fumble, Chicago gets the ball on the 15, and they go and score a touchdown. Like, Khalil Mack is that kind of a guy that can change games by himself. And that probably scares me the most, or at least as much as anything, if I'm the Titans heading into this game.
Yeah, I mean, he's their best player. He's probably a Hall of Famer, and he's that good, you know. So I agree. I would go there too. I would go with the turnover, whether it's him strip sack or causing an interception or whatever. I mean, I think he's the kind of guy that can cause that stuff to happen. There's nothing on the Bears offense that is that scary. They do have good receivers, and the matchups will be interesting there too. You know, Mooney's a good player. No first name Mooney.
He's just Mooney. He's already reached one name status.
Yeah,
it's like
Mooney.
Pele.
Yeah.
You know, he's already reached that one name status. That one good six catch game against the Saints is good enough.
That's right. That would be a cool. It is Darnell, by the way, from Tulane, young guy. You know, the smaller, faster guy. Allen Robinson's bigger, more physical guy. Also fast. He's a good player. I mean, any receivers you're worried about, but I think you're less worried about him if Adoree Jackson's on the field. You know, I think if you can match up with Jackson and Butler for the first time since mid-season last year, suddenly you feel better about that. So, not that you still – I mean, you don't feel good about anything when you can't have no pass rush.
Right.
But still, maybe some of that stuff gets cleaned up just by having better corners out there.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, if Gostkowski misses a field goal in this game, he needs to go. How short of a leash do you think Gostkowski is on at this point?
Yeah, I wouldn't think it would be long. I wouldn't think it would be long, you know? And the question, though, is who's next if you do cut him?
Bring me some Tucker McCann action.
Just elevate Tucker McCann?
I'm here for it.
Good.
I mean, it couldn't be a whole lot worse. Yeah. If Gostkowski misses two field goals on Sunday, how much worse could it really be at that point with Tucker McCann?
Yeah.
You don't want to get into what you got into last year, and I understand that. We're a different kicker's coming in every week. And, by the way, how much would they like to have Ryan Succop right now? I mean, the guy has been almost automatic in Tampa Bay so far. So, I think pretty clearly the Titans gave up a little too early on Ryan Succop. He probably came back from injury too early last season. But that's probably something they're regretting right now. But honestly, if Gostkowski doesn't get any better and he's as inconsistent as he's been, how much worse could it be with another guy?
Yeah, the problem is, so he's had these clusters where, so is Tucker McCann going to kick six field goals in one game and totally save your butt? I don't know.
I don't know.
Is Tucker McCann going to hit game-winning field goals in three straight games? You know, they're 5-2 right now, largely because of Gostkowski, you know. But also, 10-17 is not good. And it's trending again in a bad direction. So, that's really tricky. If he misses one field, what if he goes 1-for-2 Sunday? So now he's 11-for-18. I mean, I don't know what the number is. I know that the cutting of Bo Brinkley, at least for me, was a little bit like, whoa, okay. That's a move.
Yeah.
And by the way, they got different guys. Apparently, they're going to have Overton, and then they signed another long snapper who is then, I guess, going to replace him after that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. Here's the thing about missing field goal Sunday. I'm not trying to, pre-make excuses for Gostkowski, but you got a new snapper and a new holder. So already you have a higher chance that he's going to miss the field goals. That's a bad situation. I think they're going to go for it, not every fourth down.
2-point conversions all game. I thought there was a chance we might see a little more of that last week in the NFL with, the wind being as crazy as it was. Cincinnati, the wind was going nuts. I was watching the Green Bay game. They had, literally bags blowing across the field before the game because the wind was blowing, 50 miles an hour. I thought we'd see more 2-point tries than we did last week.
Yeah.
Not as much.
Extra points, even though they're longer now, you would think, man. You'd think you'd be able to handle that.
You'd think. At times, that's been a struggle for Gostkowski this year.
Yes, it has.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, I gave the warning to my major today, who was a kicker on the Army team, that if Gostkowski misses this weekend, be ready to go out and try out for the Titans. So already some outside recruiting going on for the Titans in kicking. I like it.
Okay. Hey.
Preemptive steps.
You never know. They might be holding a tryout soon. It's McCann, because the thing about – so Greg Joseph is on the Bucs practice squad, right?
I think so, yeah.
But is he protected? Because you can protect guys. I'll look into that. Because to me,
guess is no. He's probably not protected.
He would be a better option, from what I saw, than McCann. He was better than McCann in camp. He wasn't miles better, which is why they were like, let's take the Hall of Famer here, which hasn't worked out. Well, I shouldn't say that. It has worked out some weeks. And it's really not worked out other weeks, and it's very confusing right now.
Yeah.
My only question is the tryout still going to be held at Cracker Barrel?
Yeah. I tweeted that out earlier this year. In the Denver game, I was like, we're having kicking tryouts in 15 minutes in the Goodlettsville Cracker Barrel parking lot.
Is that your Cracker Barrel of choice?
Depends on where I am. But, yeah, I like that one. That's good.
When's the last time you went there to any of them?
6 days ago.
Is that long? Are you having withdrawal?
Yeah.
You going to do that this weekend?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I'll be going to Cracker Barrel.
Do they
have
those in the mountains?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
They got them everywhere. I like a little Cracker Barrel.
Have you ever had Cracker Barrel, like, up north?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. My interview for
not quite the same.
For the Detroit Free Press, was at a Cracker Barrel.
Really? Yeah. I had one in...
had some flapjacks.
In, like, northeastern Kentucky one time. And I asked for a sweet tea, and they looked at me like I had three heads. I was like, this is Cracker Barrel.
In Kentucky?
You're not at a Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're at an imposter.
I couldn't believe it. It was in Kentucky. And I was like, sweet tea?
Kentucky is a bunch of Yankee imposters, yeah. What you're telling me.
It's ridiculous.
I had no idea. I don't know if we have sweet tea. I mean, I would never touch that crap, so I don't know.
That's another bad take by you.
That's the worst one.
I think one day.
I just dumped the audio.
Yeah.
That way that doesn't go out on the air.
I'm going to sit in front of Rex Road, listen to a Blink 182 album, and drink sweet tea and just stare at him. Just see how you like it.
Just don't make me eat the banana pudding. We'll be all right.
Oh, man. When we come back, it's that time of the week. Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll get your bold predictions for this weekend in sports on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
The sports weekend has arrived. You know what that means.
Shoot your shot.
It's time for Call Your Shot Friday with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5, The Game and The Game Nashville app.
It's that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road. Time for Call Your Shot Friday. And we need your bold predictions on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Give us what's going to happen this weekend in the world of sports. Call Your Shot. We've had some really good ones on the text line the last couple of weeks. Let's keep that momentum going here on this Friday afternoon, or this Friday morning, not Friday afternoon yet. Ryan Porth out today, Elijah Campbell in here on Robbie and Rex Road. So we're going to have Elijah's edition of Call Your Shot Friday coming up shortly. But Ryan Porth made sure that even though he was going to be out today, he did not miss out on Call Your Shot Friday. He has put together his called shots for the week. So without further ado, here is the called shots from Ryan Porth.
All right, guys. I have five more called shots for this weekend's Titans game against the Chicago Bears. Let's start with Jadeveon Clowney, or Joe, you know him as Kladavian Jowney. At this point of the season, Kladavian Jowney would have more sacks than Jadeveon Clowney. But I am going to go out on a limb and say that Jadeveon Clowney ends up with more sacks in this game against the Bears, than Khalil Mack. That's right. This is going to be the Jadeveon Clowney game. Two sacks, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery. Jadeveon Clowney will not have 99 problems in this game. He shows up in a big way, and maybe, you know, Vic Beasley, just his presence forced Clowney to be bad. Now that Beasley is gone, Clowney will be good, and he gets two sacks, a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery in the, quote, Clowney game for the Tennessee Titans. I'm going to stick on defense for my second called shot for Titans-Bears. The Titans haven't been able to stop a nosebleed all season long, but they have been able to force turnovers. Someone who is very, very due for a turnover and an interception is Kevin Byard. I think Kevin Byard is not only going to record an interception, he is going to record a pick six. That is right. Kevin Byard, pick six, called shot. Let's go to the offense. Derrick Henry, he has a big game yet again against the Chicago Bears. 150 yards and two touchdowns. 150 and two touchdowns for Derrick Henry on Sunday. Let me throw in a couple more called shots. Vic Beasley. He didn't have a sack all year, but Vic Beasley is going to enjoy watching this game on his couch, and he is going to eat three sacks of Wendy's double stacks. That's right. Vic Beasley, he didn't have a sack on a Sunday all season long, but he is going to have three sacks of Wendy's burgers this week. Now, 8 years ago when the Chicago Bears came to town, the Bears fans drank Broadway dry. But I am going to make a called shot that Broadway will not run out of beer this weekend because not a lot of Bears fans are going to be in town because of obvious reasons. So, five called shots. Clowney game, two sacks with a forced fumble and a fumble recovery. Kevin Byard pick six. Derrick Henry goes for 150 and two touchdowns. Vic Beasley eats three sacks of Wendy's burgers. And Broadway will not run out of beer.
So that's Ryan Porth, who I hope is having a good time right now, because there's no way he's having a better time right now than he did with whatever he was doing before he recorded that segment. My goodness. Jadeveon Clowney having more sacks in the game than Khalil Mack. What do you call it? Two sacks for Clowney in the game?
That's strip like a sack. There's called shots, and then there's like, here's the fantasy scenario for Titans fans. You know, you got everything. You got it all in there. You got a pick six for Byard. You got Henry going nuts.
How many touchdowns are they going to score in this game?
Yeah. I mean, what's his, I guess.
Tannehill not throwing for any?
He'll be in the pick'em, right?
Yeah. Oh, he'll be in the pick'em.
I guess we know what he's picking here. I mean, I guess
what
you could.
What if he goes Bears? I guess, even with all that.
I guess with all that, you still have like six touchdown passes from Foles on top of all of it.
But I guess so.
That's a heavy load. I feel like my called shots are kind of inadequate when I hear Ryan Porth just rattle them off.
Well,
like
he was
that.
0 for 5 last week, so I have confidence the last one at least. He'll at least get that one. So that's good there. Elijah, let's move to you. What are your called shots for the weekend?
All right, I got one crazy one that's just for Saturday, and then possibly later on. I say Notre Dame beats Clemson. They pull off the upset.
Wow.
Then Notre Dame turns around and loses to North Carolina the following week. North Carolina wins out because they don't have to play Clemson, and Clemson will be excluded from the ACC championship game because, by rule, if there is a three-way tie for this year and this year only, the top two are getting in, and the deciding factor of that tiebreaker is wins against teams you are tied with.
Wow.
And Clemson would be the odd man out since they are 0-1. Against those two teams.
That's a good
that
shot.
That is a great shot.
And they'll still be in the playoff, but that's still a great shot. There'll be a little bit of nervousness.
They'll still weasel their way into the playoff because the Pac-12 will play five games and some teams will play two. And the Big Ten will have half the teams finish an entire season. Yeah. So it's really not going to matter. And the Big 12 is on their own planet right now. So Clemson will still make their way into the college football playoff without even having to participate in their own conference championship game, which in 2020 is the perfect example of what this year is, just with the with Clemson.
I like it.
And for the Titans-Bears game, our man Darnell Mooney, I was going to call him Mooney, I'm not going to acknowledge his first name anymore,
there you go.
Is going to at least get one touchdown reception.
Okay.
I don't know if it's the Bears' only touchdown or not. And the Titans will win on a game-winning field goal in embarrassed fashion, double doinking, but it going through the uprights instead of on the other side
of the
uprights. Goskowski redeems himself in only true Chicago kicker fashion on Sunday. Titans win, don't cover the spread because they haven't done it all year except like once. So there you go. That is my called shot for this weekend.
Man, that's good.
Those are good. Very creative. Very specific.
I like it.
I have nothing like that.
You want me to go? Yeah,
I just sneak mine in. Mine aren't good. I mean, I feel inadequate, but that's okay. I'm gonna go with another shot for the Titans with someone we don't know will play.
Okay.
But I'm gonna call the shot. Last week I called the shot that Derek Robichaud would play and get a sack. This week I'm calling the shot, yes. And he should have played if he could have, but he wasn't able apparently. But Desmond King will play. He's gonna come off the Zoom. He's going to be zooming all week, and he's going through the playbook, and he's a veteran, and they need help badly right now. And he's going to play. He's going to come in the building Saturday, a little walkthrough stuff, and he'll be on that field. I'm not saying he's going to start, but I'm saying he's going to play, and we'll get an interception.
Wow. Desmond King love coming in
here. So it's kind of a Desmond King double shot.
I like it.
And my other one is, again, I'm keeping it with the local teams. Yeah, you know, these are just I've got some long-term floating out there a little bit, but this is Arkansas, Tennessee, Jarrett Garantano. Will throw for 250-plus with no interceptions Saturday.
Man.
Just going to say that stat line for Garantano. 250-plus, hitting shots downfield against a defense that has to account for a running game that is winning, and no picks. How about that?
And I won't even be able to tweet about it and respond to you. Lovely.
When he throws a pick?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I'll tweet shame myself and tag you.
Okay.
So when you get back on Twitter, you can enjoy it.
That's fine. I like them. Good called shots there by Joe Rexroad. I'm going to start with my called shots in a game that interests Elijah Campbell very much, and that is the Sunday night matchup between Tampa Bay and New Orleans. We'll save maybe my prediction for that game later in the show. Antonio Brown will catch a touchdown pass on Sunday night in that game. Antonio Brown expected to make his debut for the Bucs. We'll see how that goes long term for the Bucks. I think there's a lot of reward potentially. Also, a huge risk factor involved bringing that guy in. But I think Sunday night he scores a touchdown in his debut with the Buccaneers. The other one I have for the Titans, give me two touchdowns for Corey Davis in the game on Saturday. I just think he's playing well right now. I think the Bears are going to devote a lot of attention to A.J. Brown, deservedly so. And I think Corey Davis takes advantage of that and scores twice on Sunday. Two touchdowns for Corey Davis.
That's a shot.
Yeah.
That's a shot.
Last week.
Yeah.
I'm going two.
I like it.
So you're telling me that Antonio Brown's touchdown total will match his 2020 suspension total in one night.
Yes.
All right.
Pretty impressive stuff by him there.
What if all these shots came together, the Titans will win like 63-14. Well, except for your shot.
Except for mine.
Yeah. That's true.
Or maybe it's a shootout. Maybe Mooney scores like three touchdowns.
Yeah, maybe he does.
And he has the game of his career. And then he establishes himself in the one name status for forever and ever in this market. And then it's a 63-60 game with Gostkowski pinging every upright available.
Yeah.
Is Mooney Danny Caddyshack?
Yeah.
Yeah. Danny Mooney?
I think
so.
Is
that his name? Yeah. All right.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark from Clarksville texted in, my called shots this week are Henry goes over 100 rushing yards, the Titans hold the Bears to 10 points or less, and the Bucks win by double digits with Antonio Brown to get 7 catches for 80 yards and a touchdown score.
Very specific.
Very specific in that one. So that's Mark from Clarksville's called shot. Let's go back to the text line here driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says the Colts defense contains Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, vaulting them to the third best team, the AFC, behind the Chiefs and the Steelers. So a lot of faith in the Indianapolis Colts this week to get the job done against Baltimore.
Boy, if the Colts get the job done and the Titans don't, that'll be a lot of fretting next week. But at least I'll have the game a short week to get to that game.
Yeah. This is an interesting weekend in the NFL. We're trying to figure out pigskin pick'em later too. I'm not going to save this one for pigskin pick'em. I'm going to go out on a limb and say the Colts lose by 2 touchdowns against Baltimore on Sunday. 2 touchdown win for Baltimore. I think Baltimore gets out, gets the early lead. They're able to play their style. Baltimore wins by 2 touchdowns. So
that's another shot. That's a shot. I don't know about that.
Is a bad Phil week. He throws a couple of picks, and that ultimately ends up being the difference.
And does bad Phil then what are the chances if you get bad Phil back that it's a trickle?
It's probably not good news for the Titans.
You know, he'll bounce back to good Phil.
Yeah,
I mean they set up good conditions for good Phil.
Yeah, I like it.
They set up good conditions for good fill in whatever quarterback name you want right now.
Yeah, Bob on Twitter tweets in: Jimmy Lake wins the Pac-12 championship with Washington. And his first year as a head coach. Okay.
All right.
Does anybody have any idea how the Pac-12 is going to turn out? Like, Oregon's the favorite, but does it really matter?
Oregon's going to win that conference at 3-1.
Probably so.
And it's, they're going to play a handful of games because we already have one canceled.
Yeah, so
in
California
and Washington.
Yeah.
Cal, Washington, and it was one. Yep. But was it a positive or it was just a contact tracing?
It was one positive, and they were having trouble contact tracing the rest, which at Cal Berkeley you feel like shouldn't be a problem in terms of testing and contact tracing since every other college in the country is able to do it. But if they're having trouble with one positive test on one team.
Yeah, how many games are you going to play?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking maybe 3-4.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a mess.
When we come back, we'll break down the Titans and Bears game. Our man Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will join us. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesale League Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.